Welcome to Education Today. My name is Sarah McManus, and I'm your host. This program is brought to you by the Triangle Radio Reading Service and is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Today our topic is the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Our special guest is Gina Powell. Good afternoon, Gina.
Good afternoon.
Tell us about your role with the library.
Well, I am the Outreach and Volunteer Services Librarian, and I do a couple of things. I do outreach for the library where I go out into the community and go to conferences, to civic clubs, to VIP support groups, to the DSB, Department of Services for the Blind, many centers, and talk to people about the library and let them know that it's there. And I also am heading up the volunteer services unit. We have about 80 volunteers who do all kinds of work for us. They record a few books here in North Carolina, and they also work on special projects.
Oh, wonderful. Tell us about some of the projects that the library offers.
Well, we offer, first of all, books in digital format, in braille format, and in large print format. We have over 53,000 digital books available, 8,000 braille books, and 22,000 large print books. Some of the other projects that we offer are for our patrons. We've had programs for adults that include travel programs, art museum exhibits, tactile art museum exhibits, and a cooking show.
Oh, tell us about that cooking show.
Well, it was really great. We had Christine Ha, who won the Blind Chef. She's a blind chef, and she won the Master Chef competition several years ago, even though she is blind and was competing against sighted people. So we had her Skyped in so that people could listen to her talk a little bit about what cooking is like being a chef when one is visually impaired. And she answered questions from the audience also. In addition, we had three recipes that were chosen ahead of time, and those three people who made those recipes made their cooking and demonstrated how they did their recipe, and they cooked it right there. Also, we did this at the Governor Moorhead School, and the cafeteria staff made the food of the recipe so that everybody could have a sample and taste it. The program was a great success.
Wow. For those that missed the program, is there a way that they can actually hear what happened at the program?
Yes, we have that on our website. So if they go to the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped website, they can hear it and see the part where Christine was Skyped in.
Excellent. And the cookbooks, are they available at the library?
Well, we only had three recipes that we chose. We didn't make a cookbook. So that's not available.
Okay. What about Christina's cookbook?
Yes, that would be available through the library.
Okay, excellent. Wonderful. And tell us, how do you get your patrons? How do they get involved in the library? Are there eligibility requirements?
Yes, there are eligibility requirements. First of all, a person has to be unable to read regular print books, so that they need either audio books or braille or large print books. In terms of being physically disabled, the person would not be able to handle a regular print book, not be able to hold it, not be able to turn the pages, just unable to work with the regular print, and they need audio books.
Okay. And is there a form that they have to complete or get it certified by a doctor, or how does that work?
Well, there is a form that they complete, and most of the form just has information about the patron, their address and so forth, and also what they like to read. And information that gives helps us to serve them better, but it does have to be signed by a certifying authority. That can be a doctor or a nurse or a social worker for the blind, a visually impaired teacher for the blind, also a public librarian if they are able to just visually see that the person is in fact blind or physically disabled.
Okay. And the form is online?
It is online. Whenever I go out to different groups, I also pass out the form, so some people get them that way. And the Department of Services for the Blind, social workers, and rehab counselors work with us a lot. I go to their many centers, as I mentioned, and they also tell patrons about the library, and they can sign them up for it, too.
Okay. If our audience isn't familiar with the Mini Center, can you tell us a little bit about what a Mini Center is?
Yes, they're really great. Again, this is to put on by the Department of Services for the Blind. It's usually the rehab counselors that do it. And what they do is they have one day, several days a week, where people come in for most of the day, and they have different kind of classes. One of the things that they learn about is cooking. How to use like a George Foreman grill and other types of appliances that are easy for a blind person to use. They also have speakers to come in. One time I know they had before the election, they had somebody from the Board of Elections to come in and talk about how they needed to go about voting. Also, I get invited to this, and I come in and I talk about the library. And there are other speakers who come in and talk about matters that would help a blind person, what kind of organizations are out there to help and what they do.
Okay. Is there any special equipment that a person might need, especially if they're doing an audiobook?
Well, there are a couple of ways that they can do the audiobook. We provide a digital book player to all our patrons at no charge, and they get the physical cartridge sent to them in the mail, Free Matter for the Blind, and they send it back to us the same way. And that digital cartridge plays in the digital book player. The digital cartridge is basically a USB drive wrapped in a plastic and a hard plastic case. We also have downloadable books through our service, BARD, Braille Audio Recording Download. And so people can download their books onto a USB thumb drive, and they can play it in that digital player, or they can download it to an iPhone, an iPad, an iPod, an Android phone, or some other third-party purchase players like a Victor Stream Reader or a Kindle Fire.
Oh, excellent. Wow. So they don't actually have to go to the library and check out a book. They can just check it out online?
Yes, absolutely. We have an online catalog, and they can go through and search what kind of books they want to see. There are several ways they can search. They can search by the author's name or by the book's name or by a category like history. U.S. history, for example. So they can download those books and never have to go into the library. If they want the physical book cartridge to play in our book players, they can also get that through the mail. If they don't want to use the online catalog, we have reader advisors available, and they can call in on our 888 number at no charge and talk to a reader advisor who can help them select their books.
Excellent. What if there's a book that they want to have access to, but you don't offer it? What do they do then?
Well, we may be able to interlibrary loan that book. There are a lot of other libraries like us in other states, and we can put out the word that we're looking for a certain title, and they may be able to send that to us. It's also possible that the title might be ordered in the future. It might be on ordered if it's a recently released book. And so if they just wait just a little while, they can get the book.
Excellent, excellent. So we talked a lot about books, and you mentioned a device called an app called BARD, and that is downloadable by an an iOS device and also an Android device. Is that free or is there a charge for that?
It is absolutely free. And what they need to do is to go into the Apple Store or the Google PlayStation. Both of those things have that app, and it's free. You do need to get a password to be able to download the app, but all you need to do is to call the library to get the password. And once you download that app, then you're ready to go with Bard and downloading books.
Excellent. Thank you so much. You talked about several different projects. Are there any special projects up and coming? We missed the one on the cooking show, but what else is coming up that folks might want to mark on their calendars?
Well, we have a summer reading program for both children and adults. And what that is that it starts on June 1st and it runs through August 31st. And people are just encouraged to read books, to check out books and to read them. And what they do, for adults, if they read at least 10 books, they get a prize. For children, if they read at least 5 books, they get a prize. And the top readers, the top 3 readers, will win gift cards. Last year, our top adult reader read 137 books.
Wow.
She did a lot of reading that summer, and we were really pleased with how that turned out. But she won a gift card, a $50 gift card to Walmart.
Oh, wonderful. Excellent. So everyone needs to mark their calendars. June 1st it starts. And when does it end? How long do they have to read?
August 31st.
August 31st.
So they have 3 full months. That's a lot of time to read books, depending on how much time, of course, you have. Also, along with the summer reading program, we have a summer reading event that we put on for the children at the Governor Moorhead School, the summer school students. And this year, we're hoping that it's going to be a program in conjunction with the NC Natural Sciences Museum. It's called Marvelous Mammals, and they bring in different furry critters for the children to be able to pet. They talk about what kind of noises these animals make, so you could identify it if you heard it. And it's very tactile and very audio, so that it's adjusted for children who are unable to see. And we've done several events. Last year we had the North Carolina Symphony come in and bring in an instrument petting zoo. And what that is they brought in various instruments and they let the children examine them and play them so they get an idea of what those instruments sound like and feel like.
Oh, wow. If other schools wanted to bring their children in, if they were having a camp or some other kind of an activity, how would they get in touch with you to arrange something like that?
Well, they could just call the library and ask for me, Gina Powell, and I'd be happy to talk to them about that. We also, not just the summer school kids at GMS, but we send out an invitation to all our patrons under 18 so that they know about the program, and they are also invited. And we've had a few people from the outside community to come in as well as the summer school students.
Okay. Do you also have videos available?
Yes, we do. We have a descriptive video service, and the service is the only part of our operation that we charge for, and it is because the National Library Service does not provide us with this thing like they do the books and the players. Our friends of the library, who are a really wonderful group, provide those for our patrons. And what descriptive video is that when there is no dialogue on the screen, but there is action or information about the setting that's important, there's a narrator who will tell you what is going on the screen when people are not talking. And we have over 800 of those videos available for our patrons.
Can you give us some examples of some of the titles?
Well, Gone Girl is one of them. We also have TV shows. The Andy Griffith Show is really popular. We can't keep that one in the library. It's very popular. But we have some other TV shows. Nova, if you remember that one, that was a good one. We have the movie Cars. So we have children's things for children and things for adults.
Excellent, excellent. So for the videos, is there a special video player? Is it all streamed?
No, it's just used on a regular DVD player. We also have some VHS books, movies too. And if people still have a VCR, they can check those out. They're still circulating, so we're keeping them until they stop circulating or they break. But most of our collection now is movie discs, and they play in a regular DVD player or a regular VHS player.
Okay. Well, do they play on your computer as well?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Tell us about your volunteers. You mentioned the volunteers are doing the audio descriptions. How does somebody become a volunteer if they're interested?
Well, if they come in and they meet with our volunteer coordinator, Margaret Evans, and she helps steer them into the right thing for them. And we have a wonderful group of volunteers. There's about 80 of them, and they're just wonderful people who come in and donate their time and their talents to the library. Some of the different things that the volunteers do, one of them is they work in our studio program. We produce anywhere from 4 to 6 books a year that are not produced by the National Library Service, where we get most of our books from. And these books generally have something to do with North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They're by a North Carolina author. They're set in North Carolina. And they're just books that pertain to the state. And what the volunteers do is one of them narrates the book, and another one is the monitor, and they handle all the studio equipment and read along with the narrator to make sure that they're getting every single word just right.
Wow.
And they're great. Some of the other projects that volunteers work on are mailings. We have a Tar Heel Talk, which is our patron newsletter. It comes out twice a year, and it goes out to all our patrons. And we have about 12,000 patrons.
Wow.
So this is a huge mailing that we have to have a gang of people to work on to get it out, and it usually takes about 2 weeks to mail it all out. Also, some of the programs that we mentioned, like the summer reading program for kids and the cooking program for adults that was done last November, we have to send out invitations to those. So that's also some mailings that our volunteers work on. They also work a little bit with the Braille. We have Braille invitations and Braille documents that we have to make. All of our outreach materials are also done in Braille, and so they help pull those together, put them together, tear off the tracks. They're done with tracks. If you remembered those from the computer ages ago, but the Braille still from an embosser, it has is put on tracks, so they have to be torn off, and the Braille has to be put together. So that's another project that the volunteers work on. They also help put together outreach materials.
Thank you. What about, we talked about books and we talked about videos. What about magazines?
Yes, we also have magazines available. There's almost 100 titles that are available through the National Library Service. And they include things like National Geographic, The New Yorker, The Atlantic Monthly, Time Magazine, Ladies Home Journal, Cosmopolitan, Sports Illustrated, and titles like that, just general big magazines. We also have available some magazines that are local to North Carolina, and they are also recorded by our studio volunteers, and they include magazines like Our State Magazine.
Okay, excellent. It sounds like you have a lot of resources for those who have print disabilities. And we're excited that you're here to share that information with us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about your summer travel guide?
Well, we have worked with the Arts Access does a travel guide, and it's really great. It has a list of all the travel spots in North Carolina that have facilities that help people who have disabilities to be able to enjoy the place a little better. If there's a place where there's a lot of hiking going on, they have a trail that would a blind person would be able to navigate a little easier than a regular hiking trail. The North Carolina Zoo has things available for people. They offer wheelchairs if they need it. There's also a carousel that is able to handle a wheelchair. A wheelchair can be strapped into the carousel. Wonderful. So that a person in a wheelchair would be able to ride it too.
And that's at the zoo?
That's at the North Carolina Zoo in Asheboro.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I was just looking at your website a little bit just to see, because you've got a lot of resources there, and looking to see if there's something we may not have talked about. The VIP Book Club.
Yes, that's in a book club for adults. And what they do is they meet every quarter on a Friday, and they read a book each quarter, and they just talk about it and talk about how they liked it or didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And what they think that some of the things mean. They choose their own books, what they want to read, and we do have one staff member who facilitates the club, but they have a lot of fun. My office is on the other side of the room they meet, and I just hear them laughing and cutting up. And it's fun to hear it because I know they're having a good time.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you said most of the things that you offer are free. So how do you get your funding, and how can others help you?
Well, we have two revenue streams. One is from the State Library of North Carolina. We're a division of them, and they provide us with salaries for the staff, the rent on our building where we are, computers, office supplies, and things like that. We're also a regional library of the National Library Service. And the National Library Service is a division of the Library of Congress that creates materials and deals with people with disabilities. So they provide us with the vast majority of our books, and also the digital audiobook players, and most of our magazines as well.
Excellent. And if you're a friend of the library, tell us about that.
Well, our Friends of the Library organization is really great. They are there to help support the library, to help spread the word about us so that people in the community know. And they have members. They do charge for the membership. You can get one, an individual membership for $10 a year and a family for $15. Also, we offer a professional membership for $10 as well. And then, of course, if people want to donate more than that, we'd gladly accept the donations. But the Friends of the Library do a lot for us. Back in 2009, when we had the financial crisis and there was a lot of state money was really tied up and really tight, and the state was not able to pay for me to travel anywhere, but the Friends of the Library stepped in and paid my travel expenses for about a year, which was really great because that helped me be able to do my job a whole lot better. Now, even though the economy has gotten better, they still help us. They provide all our large print books. They pay for those, which is a whole lot because we do order a lot of large print books every year. And as I said, they also pay for the descriptive videos.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. And one last question before we kind of wrap up, and I want you to go back over some of the things that are going to happen this summer and some of the dates, in case our audience wants to participate in those. But you have something on your website called Web Braille. What is that?
Well, Web Braille is when you can go in and download a book so that it comes out in Braille. You would need to have a computer with a Braille display to be able to use that.
Okay, and what is a Braille display?
Well, a Braille display attaches to the keyboard of the computer, and what it does is it has the individual cells, and there'd be a whole line of them, and they're little plastic cells that pop up like dots so that they would the right dots if you have your cursor on a line of print, and it would just be able to read the pop up into the correct dots for Braille.
Okay, so then they could read the Braille book
right on their
on the go.
On that Braille display.
Okay, wonderful, excellent. So we're gonna recap a little bit for our audience so that they're aware of some of the upcoming summer programs that are happening. You mentioned there's a reading program that's going to take place June 1st. Tell us once more about that.
Well, the reading program will run through the summer, June 1st through August the 31st. The summer reading event for the kids at Governor Moorhead School is June 14th.
Excellent. And if they want to get more information about any of the programs that you offer, do you have their website available?
Well, it will be on our website. If they just look at the library's website, there will be information on that. And there's also a way for them to sign up online for the reading program.
Excellent. So, Gina, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate you sharing information about the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Is there anything else that you want to say before we close out?
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate being able to spread the word about the library. We have provided a great service to the community, and we are always looking to let people who qualify for their services know about us, because after all, reading is for everyone.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And again, this is Sarah McManus with Education Today. This program was brought to you by the Triangle Radio Reading Service and is intended for those with blind and print impairments. Thank you so much and have a great day.